Hello and welcome to Connectivity 189. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Zach Miller.
Hi-ho, neighborinos!
So it's just me and Zach today. We're going to be talking about Castlevania for another sort of chat retro chat discussion. But first, yeah, so Zach, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been battling a sinus cold that's kind of kept me sitting on the couch when I'm not at work, and I am just amazed at how quickly your very small frontal sinuses can fill up with gross stuff. that supply renews so quickly. They should really consider making some sort of a bioenergy out of that. But otherwise, I've just been kind of watching some shows, experimenting with some new TV shows, and trying to find a copy of Metal Gear Solid 5.
You still haven't found a copy.
I found one. I just found one yesterday. I went to Fred Meyer and they had gotten a restock in, but it was $60, and I have, of course, and I have $50 in free money from my, medical trial. Whatever, clinical trial. And so I thought, well, you know, it's $50 as a PSN card. So I went and bought a PSN card. So my intention now is to get it digitally, but it's probably going to have to wait until I get back from Green Bay, because I'm leaving tonight to go to Green Bay with Mr. Ronahan and both of our wives and a whole bunch of other people. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go watch the Green Bay Packers play. So we've been packing and planning that.
Cool.
Yeah, and otherwise, just normal business, and it's pouring rain. It's not snowing yet. That's nice.
You haven't gone, you gone back to Mario Maker at all?
I have, just to, just really to get unlocks. I'm hoping there's, so I got the sound effects pack, which is, who cares? And then I got another pack of enemies that I don't, they just seem like darker versions of previously used enemies. So I think I'm scheduled to get a pack today if I turn the thing on. No, I haven't created a level in a very long time. But I've played a lot of levels, and I got in kind of a Twitter fight with Neil and former staffer Grant Buell about how good the created levels are in 100 Mario Challenges. And, you know, a lot of them are not good.
Yeah, a lot of them I skip.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's, I kind of wish there was some sort of a rating, a star system, you know, 1 to 5, where the, I don't know, 1s and 2s could be swept under the rug. And, you know,
I don't know if that would help much, because even sort of annoying slash, you know, could be sort of bad levels get tons of stars.
That's like, true. And,
I don't know.
People give a lot of stars to, I don't know why, but people really seem to like autoplay levels. I hate those things. You just turn it on, it says, don't touch anything, and I just skip it.
I tried to make a troll level on that, but it wasn't like super successful. I just made a level called just like stand there.
Yeah.
And I tried to make it look like, try to give the illusion that something was going to happen. I was going to see like how long people would just wait there.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I deleted that one because it could probably be done better. It needs to give better illusion of something could like start happening. So, but yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I'm sometimes impressed by the sense of timing and the effort people go into to make these auto-scrolling levels, but God, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah, it would take ages just to fiddle around and get it perfectly lined up.
Yeah.
I don't mind them showing up in the 100 Mario Challenge, because I'm only really playing it to unlock more costumes.
Same here.
So the more autoplay levels that come up, the faster I get through it. So.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that. I just unlocked the Pikmin sprites last night.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. How about yourself?
I just got back from some exercising, running and walking a bit.
Nice.
And last week I went with some friends to see the Pokemon first movie at the movies.
Really?
Yeah.
The first movie?
Yep.
They nice!
Played it locally. So we went and saw that. That was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
But, like, they didn't have the Pikachu short before it. It was just the straight movie, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Man, that was pretty fun. I remember going to that. I went to see it twice just so I could get two of the exclusive Pokemon trading card game cards.
There was two? There was just Mew.
There was Mew, but there were also there was also a Dragonite, a Mewtwo, a Pikachu, and an Electabuzz. For some reason, Electabuzz.
That's right. Yeah, there was a. I do remember the Pikachu one now. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I have them all now after years of collecting individual cards. After that, but
I actually made my own Mew card back in the day. I printed it out and glued it to another energy card or something.
Nice.
Because a friend of mine had won tickets to go see like an early screening back in like when it was new.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they didn't give out the cards at the pre-screenings.
Oh.
So we didn't get one.
That's no good. Yeah. I don't think that Mew was allowed in tournament play.
No. It didn't even have English writing on it. It's just all runes and stuff.
Yeah, just all hieroglyphs or something.
Yeah.
But it was clear it did 30 damage for two psychic energy, and I know that, and I'm such a nerd.
I never played the game, really. I just collected the cards.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Looked at them.
I have all mine and two, what do you call them? Card holders. I have no English today. But I was deep into it back in the day.
Other than that, the last couple of days I've been putting a bit more time back into Mario 64 on the N64.
Oh.
I started the file like a few months ago, and I just, whenever I've sort of felt like playing it for 10-15 minutes, I'll jump on and get a few stars.
Yeah.
I just, the other day I got all the stars in the, what is it, the Lava Land?
Okay.
Yeah, the Lava Land. And I was trying to get the 100 coins on it, but I keep dying. And there's like not that many coins, really. I think it's probably pretty close to having 100 coins.
I think it is, and you have to go into the volcano to get all of them.
Super annoying. But anyway, so I'll try that again later. But
oh, that's a good game. That's a good game to play for 10 or 15 minutes at a time, too.
Yeah, it is good, because you can sort of just jump in and get a couple of stars pretty easily. Back when Mario Galaxy was just out, I think in What It Asks, they basically said, oh, yeah, you know, it's pretty easy to jump in and just get a star. If you get, like, one star a day, you'll be done in, like, 120 days.
That's true.
So, yeah, they're easy games to just jump into, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll now move on to our main segment. But first, here's a special break.
It's time for Kim and Becky's list of happening old games.
So Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow is like really old.
Really old. 2005 old.
Still in high school old.
Ancient.
Well, okay, not that old.
Anyway, not all old things are hard of hearing and think that our generation takes too many selfies. Some older games are super cool.
So Kim and I have looked up a list of the top 5 games on the Nintendo NES. My list will be from our home, NWR.
And my list is from Metacritic. For those of you who don't know, Metacritic is a site that compiles and averages review scores on games from tons of users and professional publications.
So we'll be guessing each other's lists, just from clues. So here we go.
All right. This game creatively uses the dual screen of the DS to tell the story of two famous brothers and their adversary.
No clue. Bass.
Should I say it?
Yeah.
Okay, Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story.
Dang. Alright. The DS version of this internationally popular puzzle game from Capcom was actually a remake of a GBA game that was also only released in Japan.
What? I don't know, like, Picross?
Nope. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Son of a bitch! Okay. Number four, a game in a racing series that's still popular today.
Mario Kart DS.
Yes, you are!
Yay! Alright, and this game is a latter entry in an RPG series that's actually known most of its popularity only in Japan. It's been around since the Super NES and features art by Akira Toriyama.
What the? I'm really bad at this.
It's okay. Five.
Final Fantasy? I don't know.
No.
Oh,
Dragon
wait,
Quest
no.
9.
What was
Dragon
it?
Dragon Quest 9.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that. I have one, and I just never played it. Okay.
Next.
Number three. Travel through time to set history right in this RPG by Square Enix.
Chrono Trigger?
Yes! Oh my god!
I love Chrono Trigger!
I wasn't sure if you knew that one. Okay.
Okay, another puzzle game for the DS. This one was developed by Nintendo and HAL Labs, and it happens to be one of our editor, Neil Ronahan's favorite games.
Hutch, I'm sorry, Neil. I know one of my favorite puzzle games is Professor Layton.
No, it's Picross 3D.
Shiza, so I mixed it. Oh my guessed. God! I said Picross for the other one. Okay.
You did.
Number two. This game is more of a tool to create short animations.
Oh my god, I have no clue.
It's Flipnote Studio.
Oh my god! I totally forgot Flipnote.
Right?
Okay. A rhythm game that came to the US is a slightly different version from its Japanese counterpart, including a different story.
What? There's a million rhythm games! All I could think of is Rhythm Heaven Fever, which I know is a 3DS.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's Elite Beat Agents.
Oh, I don't even know that one. Okay.
Oh, I do.
And here's the number one game, according to Metacritic. The last game of a hugely popular series centered around crime to appear on a Nintendo platform.
Oh, is this like Hotel Dusk?
Nope.
Damn.
I don't know what that game is.
I was like, I think it's a crime-solving game. One of my friends really likes it.
No, it's not crime-solving. It's centered around crime.
Oh.
I'll give you a second guess.
I have no idea. That was like my only one.
Okay. Grand Theft Auto, Chinatown Wars.
Oh, I totally forgot one came out for the DS.
I know, right? It's like
okay. The
game, though.
And NWR's number one game for the DS was a DS entry for the most popular Nintendo Mario spin-off series. It became one of the best-selling DS titles worldwide.
What? Oh, I feel like an idiot if I don't get this then.
You can do it. You can do it. Okay, I'll give you one more hint.
Okay.
It's a racing game.
Wait, oh my god, it's Mario Kart DS.
Yes. Yay! Okay, and the winner is me, with a score of me 2 and Kim 1. So,
safe to say we aren't good with DS games. Anyways, that's the game. We'll see you next time.
Bye!
Bye!
And welcome back. Okay, now we're going to jump into some Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow talk for the Nintendo DS. So, Zach.
Yes.
You played the game originally back when it was new?
Back in 2004. I think I don't remember if I was actually on the review or not. I think I might have been.
You were on the site in 2004, 2005?
Oh, no, you're right. That's correct. No. I was not on the review. no, God. I must have gotten it pretty close to or at launch, and I played all of it. I 100%ed it. It's one of the few games I've 100%ed, and it's God, I love it. And it's aged pretty well for me, unlike some of the other DS and GBA Castlevania games. This one has held up all right. I think partially because it's almost a remake of Aria of Sorrow.
Well, it's like a sequel, isn't it?
It is a sequel to Aria of Sorrow, but it's so much of it is like even the level progression or the environments are so similar to Aria of Sorrow. This is like we've got better graphics now and we have better music. Let's do this again.
Mm.
So
they actually they went with a Nintendo DS because I think Igarashi said that like the success of Aria of Sorrow and the GBA sort of pushed it towards the DS.
Nice.
The DS instead of the PSP. Because, you know, at this time, it would have been very easy for Konami or whoever to sort of diss the DS and
True.
Go with PlayStation Portable. So.
And they did put the Castlevania Dracula X collection on PSP.
Oh, okay.
Which I also have, and is not as good.
Hmm.
But, yeah, this is... I really like this game, and I got real deep into it, and I got through all the different alternate modes, which we can talk about later. But I beat it this time. It took me a long time to beat it. I didn't 100% it, of course, but...
Yeah.
How about yourself? How far did you get?
Do you
have any previous experience with the series?
No, I don't have any previous experience with the series. I've never really played a Castlevania game.
Oh.
I know that's like blasphemy, probably, but because I didn't really know about Castlevania like too much, because like I didn't have a Castlevania game growing up. I didn't know anyone that had did either. It wasn't until like the GBA and the DS that I started seeing reviews for the Castlevania games, but I never ended up trying one back then.
Gotcha.
I think I'm not like too like, I don't know, the aesthetic and everything to me, it's not like super, like I don't like it a whole lot, like the whole gothic thing.
Oh, okay.
Appeal to me like a whole lot, really, so I guess that may be why. And like I do like sort of, you know, Metroid style progression, but like I've got like a limit to how much
you can do.
I've sort of handled most of the Metroid games to like at least getting like pretty much finished with them and stuff, but
yeah,
like the first Metroid game I played was Metroid Prime, so
you know, that's the I played Metroid NES and Super Metroid prior, but they didn't really click with me back when I first played them, back when they first came out.
Sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't until Metroid Prime that I was like, oh, this is the point.
Yeah. Like, if I had somehow had a Super Nintendo back in the mid-90s and had Super Metroid, I doubt I would have gotten all that far. I probably would have just fumbled around for a while and not really known what to do.
Yeah.
Especially the NES one's even worse in that regard.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those games... I mean, super. Like, it took Metroid Prime to teach me what Metroid was all about, and then I was able to go back and appreciate Super Metroid and the NES Metroid. I still don't. I don't think the NES Metroid's a very good game, but I do think that the Super Metroid game is good, especially considering the time it came out. Mm-hmm. But Metroid Prime is probably Metroid Prime. Primed me to get into these post Symphony of the Night Castlevania games.
Right, so you didn't pick up Castlevania until like the GBA and DS era then, I guess.
Well, I played all the Nintendo ones previously, and Castlevania 4 on the Super Nintendo, but I didn't play Symphony of the Night until, God, I don't even know. It was after the GBA games. And then I went back to Symphony, and Symphony's actually not great. I mean, it's good, but it's also maybe not.
It's the first like one of those style games, right? Like that was the first one to try doing the whole style basically, which they just kept making
right
on like for another 10 years or whatever it was, more than that.
Yeah, in fact, the second GBA game, Harmony of Dissonance, is almost a remake of Symphony of the Night.
Hmm.
So I don't love it. it's almost a remake, but it looks much worse. Symphony at least was pretty and had good music, but I didn't love the gameplay.
Hmm.
So this was... Aria of Sorrow, I think, was the first real good Metroidvania Castlevania game. And then this one is... probably the next best, just because it's so similar.
See, like, I always, like... because I sort of followed, like, opinion on the games, like, very sort of haphazardly, I guess. Like, just by people talking about them. And I always thought this one was sort of looked down on a bit because of people didn't like the touchscreen stuff. And
oh, true.
I thought people had a bunch of problems with it, but I was just looking at like the general reception from reviewers on like Wikipedia and stuff, and you know, they went over pretty well generally with the scores. It was like 9 out of 10s and like 4.5 out of 5s and stuff. So
nice.
I guess it was actually like better received than I sort of thought.
Well, the touchscreen stuff is awful.
Mm.
I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The touchscreen stuff is god awful, and I wish it wasn't there.
They were going to put in the microphone apparently too, but they ended up dropping it during development.
Thank God. You don't need to use every feature of machine that you're making a game for.
Yep.
So I interrupted you, but about where did you get in the game?
I've only played like, 2 to 3 hours or so.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly where, like, I think I beat like at least a couple of bosses or whatever. I did sort of like look at a bit of a let's play as well, just to jump forward a bit, because I just didn't get enough of the way through it.
Yeah.
But I've got a general idea of what I sort of think and stuff, because like the gameplay, obviously, just it just builds upon itself. So
right.
I don't know how like the leveling stuff. I don't know if I would prefer. I think I would prefer a game where you didn't really have didn't have to like level up, and I know that's like a core part of this game, but I don't know how I feel about like having to level the character up and stuff.
Yeah, I don't either. In previous Castlevania games, the GBA Castlevania games besides Aria, so Circle of the Moon and the other one, Harmony of Dissonance, you find health upgrades and magic upgrades like they'd be health upgrades and missile tanks in a Metroid game. And this game does not, I don't remember this game having those at all. It is purely a leveling up system. I don't know. That's more like Symphony of the Night, although Symphony of the Night did both things.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a passive thing. What's weird about it is it doesn't really do anything. Mm. You know, you just kind of level up. But you're constantly finding better weapons, better armor. So it's not clear what the leveling up does for you.
Yeah, you get like drops from enemies quite a bit too.
Yeah.
It's like random stuff. Like you got to go in and equip it and everything.
Yeah, the equipping stuff, I will say there's way too much to equip.
Yeah, there is. Like, yeah, I sort of, you get used to it like in these games, but having lots of like different menu options and stuff sort of like you say, just
yeah.
Do it for me.
Yeah. Find me the best stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. And this game actually kind of makes it a little easier, because one of the first gray souls that you get is the ability to swap between two loadouts.
Mm.
But I think the idea there is you equip different loadouts for different kinds of enemies that have different weaknesses, but yeah. there's like 10 different weaknesses in the game.
Mm.
So neither of your armor sets is going to hit every enemy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I almost don't use that loadout swap, because I'm just going to have to swap the equipment in either one anyway.
Mm.
But, one thing that I do like that I think a lot of people don't like is the random drops of enemy souls. Talk to me about that, because that's the magic system.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the enemy encyclopedia actually tells you the rarity of different souls.
Mm.
There's a few that are 5-star rarities that you have to kill the guy 100 times before you get his soul.
Yeah, so, like, I guess later in the game, you'd have to sort of grind enemies just to find better stuff.
Yes.
If you want it, or just to get 100% completion.
Yes.
Mm. Actually, the guy that I watched a little bit of his Let's Play, because I also watched it from the start, and the first enemy he killed, he got a drop that was, like, super rare. It's like a 1 in 1,000 sort of chance of getting or something.
Wow.
It's, like, ridiculous.
There were I remember a few moments in this game back when I was first playing it, equipping the Black Panther soul, which is, it just lets you dash forward with R. You just hold down R and you run. So I'd run.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I kept trying to double tap the D-pad to run.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, come on, go faster.
Yeah, he's not real fast, is he?
And he's got, like, the back dodge, which I guess you could maybe use that if you wanted to, like, just backwards dodge all the time.
That's true. But there's a few rooms where once you're at a high enough level, you can actually just run into enemies and kill them. So just run through a room, kill the enemies by holding R, hope one of them dropped a soul. If not, go back, do it again.
Yeah.
And the really horrible thing, this is the horrible thing about Dawn of Sorrow that was not in Aria, the souls level up. Mm. The more copies of a soul you have, the more powerful the attack is, or the magic attack, the effect. So you were really encouraged to get all those 5-star souls. So that's not necessarily
great. You don't really have to. I mean, could you get through the game with? Could you, like? Do you think you could beat the game with, like, just sort of not really bothering too much?
And oh yeah,
brute forcing it.
Yeah, you could. Mm. I think, in fact, that when you're fighting a lot of these bosses, the souls don't matter that much. You're generally just spamming whatever the most powerful sword you have is.
Mm.
And
is dodging.
And dodging, yeah. So the getting all of the magic all the way leveled up is just more for OCD people like me.
Completionists
like me, yeah. And I don't think that... No, that's not true. The next game in the series, Portrait of Ruin, which is awful, it does the same thing.
Mm.
I don't remember if Order of Ecclesia does. That's a damn good one. It's hard as hell, though.
That was the one that I almost actually went and, like, played back when it was coming out, because everyone was saying how good it was.
Yeah.
But I still didn't.
I did review that one, and that one is so hard. It's so hard. Like, this game gets tricky in a couple places.
Mm.
There's a few places in this game where I think you almost have to grind for a little while to get your base attack stat up to kill some of the monsters.
Mm.
But
so actually, speaking of some of the monsters, I don't know. Like, I think some of the art styles between them seem off a bit. Like, some of them they don't look very consistent across, like, their designs.
It's because they're reusing sprites from past games.
Mm, like, the Frankenstein sprite stuck out to me early on.
Yeah, he doesn't animate well at all.
He's like, and, like, the sizes of different enemies, like, there's different sort of, you know, there's, like, the Frankenstein humanoid, you know, shape, and then you got, like, knights and stuff. And they're all, like, varying sizes. I mean, and they don't look 100% right scale-wise.
Right.
It just seems off, like, a little bit.
I always thought those big boar guys with big fists, they look silly.
Yeah.
Because they're huge. They're bigger than the armors.
Mm. And some of those big, like, animal sort of monsters are, like, have, like, a few frames of animation.
Yeah. I think the Minotaurs have maybe two.
Yeah.
And then they have a rotating effect when they turn around, and that's from Symphony of the Night.
Mm.
That's literally a reused asset.
Well, that's what they became famous for. Like, they just sort of tried to reuse assets all the time.
But... Yep. Make a cheaper game.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the I generally like the bosses, and the final boss is pretty great. He's bigger than the screen.
Does he take up two screens almost?
Yeah, he would take up two screens if you could use the bottom screen to see. But you have to kind of jump around on all these platforms to get his weak points. And then when you beat the game, I think a really cool mode opens up. It's called Julius mode. And it was in Aria too, but it wasn't nearly as cool as this. You get to play as Julius Belmont. He plays as a normal whip-wielding Belmont, but he doesn't get any new items or armor. But he's eventually joined by Yoko Belinades, the witch, and Alucard, who is his Symphony of the Night sprite.
Yeah.
And you can swap between all of them, and it's supposed to be kind of a callback to Castlevania III, but the game progresses in a completely different way.
Huh.
And it's super hard. It is so damn hard. But the final boss, if you get there, is Soma, who has given in to becoming Dracula. So you actually kind of fight him, but then he turns into kind of a roid rage monster form of the ghost, the original Castlevania ghost of Dracula from the NES game.
Huh.
And he's using all sorts of different magic attacks that he's picked up. It's a really cool fight.
That's pretty cool. Like, that's like pretty good for an extra sort of bonus content sort of thing.
Yeah, it really is. I was really impressed because Julius mode is in Aria too, but it's just swapping the character. And you can't really do anything. You still don't get armor or weapons. So you're really just exploring as Julius. And there's no end game. You can't fight the final boss. so there's no point. But this game really, really does it right.
Oh, that's cool. Actually, when I started up this game, because I didn't really realize it was like a sequel or anything, so I was just confused a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I just sort of jump in and start talking about stuff that's already happened.
True.
I was just, oh, what's going on? I guess, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, in the first game, it was pretty cool. You know, if you find out slowly over the course of the first game that Soma is the new Dracula after Dracula has finally been banished for good by Julius Belmont. And Soma has to, he doesn't become Dracula. He fights off, you know, these cultists again who are trying to turn him into Dracula, and he goes into another dimension and destroys the essence of Dracula or something, which is a very abstract boss fight. It's very weird. Then he goes home, and you think, well, it's over. And it's not really explained in this game why his powers come back. There's that woman.
They said at the start that he's always had them. He never lost them or something, and they're always inside him.
Oh, okay.
He's to be in danger again or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's, oh yeah, you still had them. You just didn't need to use them. And now that you haven't used them for a while, you've lost all the old...
You've lost all the powers you had, yeah. Just like Samus, you've got to refind everything. But yeah, it's a good game. I enjoyed replaying it, and I kind of want to pick up Order of Ecclesia again now. Or maybe play through Julius mode again if I want to knock my head against a wall. Because that is super hard. Oh my god, I can't even tell you.
All right, so we've got like a question or a comment from... who was it?
Oh,
at Fielder's Choice 9 from Twitter, and Dan from Canada.
Dan from Canada, okay.
Yeah, do you want to read his letter?
Sure. Dan from Canada writes, "Hey guys, I have yet to play this game, but was excited about the Game Boy Advance games on the VC. So my question, with Konami being a mess, do you think this game will come to the eShop? If so, Will there be any complications in playing the DS on the Wii U, control-wise, or is it smarter to get this game in its original form? Thanks, and keep it up. Well, Konami's a dumpster fire right now. I wake up every morning and think that the Castlevania VC games will be taken off the eShop.
And then taken out of your purchase history.
Oh my god, that could happen too. Go ahead.
We are on the if it ever came to the Wii U, I don't think there would be too much of a problem, right?
No, because you might just have
to look down at the screen to do the touchscreen stuff.
Briefly. Yeah, the map and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a huge issue, because most of the action that takes place on the top screen, and you're just using the D-pad and buttons anyway, so...
Right. But you would have to... and it might be actually easier to draw that stupid symbol on the gamepad, because you have more room. That's the problem with the... That's the real problem with the symbol drawing on the DS, is you don't have a lot of room, and the game interprets even the slightest going off the path of the symbol to be killing it. So that might work. And, you know, it's always possible that they could put these on the eShop, and I wouldn't mind seeing it.
They could sort of feel the need to whenever Bloodstained gets closer to coming
out. Oh, right.
Just like Mega Man had a bit of a resurgence because of, Mighty No. 9 got delayed anyway. But...
right.
But, you know, like, I don't know what you really gain from playing it on the Wii U.
Right.
I would rather have the DS cartridge, actually, because then you can at least play it on multiple handhelds. You can play it on 3DS if you want. You got a bit more, you know, it's easier to sort of just keep the cart around. And I don't know, it's like, there's not much of an advantage of playing it on Wii U. Like, they don't look any better. They probably look worse.
They probably would look worse, yeah.
I haven't bought any DS games on the Wii U, aside from downloading the free brain training game.
Oh, I didn't even know that was free.
Yeah, that was well before they actually started putting out DS games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in this game in particular, a lot of the enemies and bosses that use rotational effects would look pretty terrible on a TV.
I think they've probably got like a original resolution mode and stuff.
Yeah.
I think. For the GBA games do. I'm not sure about the DS ones, but
I guess smoothing.
It'll come down if it ever did come out on the Wii U. I guess it'll come down to how much do you want to spend on it,
right?
And right now there is no choice. You have to get the DS version,
right? I think these games are. I think these games fetch a pretty good value these days on like eBay.
Yeah, they probably do. I mean, anything old game related now, people just put up, try and get as much as they can for it now.
Oh, you know what? I was wrong. It's, it's $16.99 on eBay.
Oh, that's pretty good.
there's even a hilarious Best of Konami version that has...
Yeah, there's like a picture of the...
It's a picture of the box.
On the box. I wish they used the same picture for the the box, of that classic one on the inside of the picture.
Oh, so yes,
keep going into itself.
All right, well, that game's really super cheap. You should buy it on DS. You should buy the original. Yeah. And it's a good game to have to it's the kind of game where you can play it for a while and then put it to sleep and then pick it up later. It's a good... I much prefer to play it on handheld. I'm just curious about... Wow, Order of Ecclesia has dropped way down in price.
Huh.
When that game first came out, it was rumored to have a low print run, and games were going for like $60.
Huh.
Now it's down to $20. Well, there you go. You can have all these... You can have the good... DS Castlevania games for $20 a piece. Don't buy Portrait of Ruin because it's garbage. I know at least one of my Twitter followers are going to email me now and say, hey, Portrait of Ruin is good.
Just in terms of like Castlevania and like, what do you like about Castlevania compared to like, say, Metroid or...
That's a good question. I like having different weapons. I like being able to have different attacks for different situations, which in Metroid, you know, you kind of do in Super Metroid because you can swap between beam types.
Mm.
You can really do it in Metroid Prime, which is why I like Metroid Prime the most, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, these newer Castlevania games have... I do like, you know, you don't like the gothic aesthetic, but I kind of do. I kind of like seeing how imaginative they can be with the boss characters and some of the monster designs. I don't necessarily like the way you get magic attacks in this game because it's, you know, we talked about it. It's awful, but I do like playing around with the different magic attacks and finding a good, finding the best combination of everything so that you're an unstoppable killing machine towards the end of the game. So, I don't know. There's a lot to like about it, but I don't like others. You know, I like these newer Castlevania games better than the old versions, the old NES games.
Because the early ones are just more straight action, weren't
just
they?
Just punishingly difficult. Mm. But also, yeah, straight action, and you couldn't go back a screen. And,
yeah.
I like Super Castlevania because it's kind of bridging a little bit of a gap. But, these are good Metroid games because we don't get good Metroid games very often. You know? Not to say that all of these are good. I mean, I said Portrait of Ruin is awful because it is, and Harmony of Dissonance is also awful.
I mean, like, the schedule, though, with these games, I mean, they did, like, 3 on GBA, and they did, like, what, 3 on DS?
3 on DS in about 7 years.
Yeah, so, like, you know, it was roughly 1 a year.
Yeah.
Almost, so.
So I'm not surprised they copied assets, but I guess... when you're on that kind of a schedule, they can't all be good.
Mm.
And I am sad to see these games go away. I don't really like the direction that Mercury Steam took with the series. I never finished Lords of Shadow.
Mm.
The
sales of the DS ones must... I wonder if they like dropped off. I wonder how well the last one that came out sold... because like this one, the sales numbers on this one seemed pretty strong when it came out. I mean, the game sold over 164,000 copies in 3 months in the US.
That's good.
So, like, I guess it, you know, would have sold a lot more than that over the years as well. So
sure.
I wonder why they just stopped making them. Like, why did Igarashi sort of get sent to a room somewhere and not allowed to do anything?
Yeah, I wonder about that too. I really do. It must have had to do with Konami saying we're not going to fund any big projects anymore. We're going to go into hotels and pachinko machines.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it is sad to see these go, and I'm actually excited to see where Bloodstained goes. I did not back it because I knew it would get funded. There was no question.
It was funded in like the first day.
It was funded. Yeah, that's true. It was funded in the first day. But also after seeing Mighty No. 9 flounder for so long, I don't know how confident I am in some of these projects.
I mean, you know, like any sort of project, like they can say, yeah, we're going to have it out in 2 years, but or a year even. And it's just like things can go wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's the side of game development we're not usually as privy to, I guess. Kickstarter's probably highlighted it a bit more because backers are sort of like, where's my game?
Right.
And before they would just sort of put out a thing saying, oh yeah, the release date's been moved, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one already had money on the game, basically, you know.
Right, nobody pre-purchased it.
Mm.
I continue to, or the only game I've backed is Shantae. Yeah. And I know that game's date got slipped. But I'm okay with it because those guys keep everybody up to date real well.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mighty No. 9 kind of put me off of it, and I'm not as worried about Castlevania, Bloodstained, aka Castlevania, I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm interested to follow it.
Yeah, well, it should definitely be, you know, a good game. Like it's going to be basically one of those Castlevania games, but without the name. So.
Right, right.
And they have to make new assets.
That's true. That's good. Now now we just wait for Bipedal Tank Prime from Hideo Kojima. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Metal Cog. Solid.
Team up with the Metal Slug guys. Yeah.
All right, so Zach, you got any anything else you want to add to Dawn of Sorrow?
No, not really. Dawn of Sorrow is really fun, and it's probably my favorite of the three DS games, and I'm glad I had this excuse to replay it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
What about you?
I think I've said most of what I wanted to.
All right.
I might, keep trying to push through it and stuff, just to play a bit more of it. I'll give it a bit more of a go. I'm not super into it, but I'll probably try and play a little bit more at least, just to see if it clicks a bit better.
Okay.
Because sometimes that happens. You need to sort of, I guess I do. Like sometimes you just need to try and play enough of it until you
till you get it.
Till you get it, or you know you're not gonna get it, basically.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's happened to me many times where I play a game and I think I don't like it, and then something happens where I'm like, oh, I get it now, and then I actually tend to restart my file.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's happened on a few games. Well, I hope you get more enjoyment out of it in the coming days and weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll just wrap up the show. I just wanted to put out there if anyone wants to suggest a game that we could play for Chat Retro. Put it in the talk back of this episode and we'll consider it. It'll come down to basically, if we already have it or how hard it is to sort of track down, but we'll keep them in mind. It's not like, we can put a few on a list and think about it or, work towards doing them eventually.
Yeah.
So, that's not a bad idea, I think.
No.
I forgot to mention on the last episode, but we also, I've got a connectivity Twitter now, which is @connectivitynwr. That's actually being run by Adam, new staff at Adam. He was on a couple of episodes a while back.
Right.
So if we can get some more followers than that, it's more interaction, that'd be great. We'll obviously, if you want to send comments or anything, you can send it to that Twitter account, and we'll hopefully read them out or say something, mention them on the show. We've got something you want to say. Other than that, you can also follow myself, which is @NicholasNWR, and also Zach has a Twitter.
I do. It is @ZMiller1902.
And you can also just send in a questions or comments to the email address, which is connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com.
Like Dan from Canada did.
Like Dan from Canada did, yeah. Thanks for that, Dan. All right, so I guess that's it. Thanks, Zach.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.